So the who is your dream customer? And this is an interesting topic because there's when I got into online marketing, there are all these like ideal client avatar exercises. And there's like you got these like long questionnaires and worksheets, and it was like how old are they? Is it a man or a woman? Like, where do they go to school? What kind of work do they have? How many kids do they have? Do they have what magazines do they read? What's their favorite TV show? What books are they reading? What blogs are they reading? I'm like, I have no clue. Like, I don't know any of those. Like, what magazines do they read? I don't know. Like, who reads a magazine anymore, right? And I feel like that's stuff has changed a bit because the way it used to be was that we would need to, like, how did you reach people in the old days, right? Like, how did you reach people before? Like, you would go actually put out flyers, you would run an ad in the newspaper, or you would run an ad on television. Like, nobody could afford that, like, not people like us, right? Or referrals, or like literally post a flyer at your local supermarket, right? Remember, there's like these you could hang out with, like a thing. But now the way it works is that we're running ads on social media, or we're posting free content on social media, which is also kind of a form of an ad. Or we're getting JV partners, like other people who have our audience, to send messages out to them. So it's a different way of getting at people. So we can, it becomes more about like what are the characteristics of the person that we actually care about? Like, what pain do they have? What's going on in their minds? What are their belief systems? Which is why we start with the why. Like, it's about attracting people who are going to be naturally drawn to us. And so the questions that we ask ourselves about who our dream customer is are different from the way I was taught originally. So this is how I think about dream customer. You're like, think about it. So imagine the person who you would most want to work with, right? Often, like I've said, it'll be you from the past. Not literally, obviously, not literally you from the past, because you from the past doesn't exist, but someone who's similar to who you were in the past in some meaningful way. And it's up to you to define what that is, right? But they might be in a similar kind of situation. They might have a similar personality, disposition, worldview, et cetera. And the more that you can go back and dig into, like, how did you actually feel? How did you actually think? Like, what was your mindset at that time? The more you can speak to that person, because then you're inside their head in a way that is hard for anyone else to get. And the important part here is you choose who you most want to work with. It's your decision. You don't have to work with everybody. You don't have to work with everybody who happens to show up. If they're not a good fit, you don't have to do business with them. You get to choose. We want it to be, there's a, what's his name? Joe Polish has this acronym that he says it has to be ELF. Elf, it have to be. I don't actually remember what the E is for. The L is for lucrative, and the F is for fun. What is the E for? I forget now. Joe Polish, Elf, lucrative, fun. Easy, easy. All right, it has to be easy, lucrative, and fun. There you go. Elf, right? So we can choose that business is easy, lucrative, and fun. Like, let's freaking do that. Let's like find out how to make it easy, lucrative, and fun. You get to decide the criteria for doing business with you. Like, I only work with clients in this particular type of situation. I only work with clients who will work with me on my schedule, on my schedule. I don't have to work on their schedule. Or I only want to work with clients who does the work. And if you like don't do the homework, you're kicked out of my group. I'm sorry, but that's how we operate here. Like, here are my non-negotiables. Here's every single client that I work with. They have to do these five things every day or they're out. Like you get to choose. You get to choose. Of course, you can set the criteria so tight that there's literally nobody, but chances are with 8 billion people in the world, and say like half of them are have maybe, I don't know, a billion of them have money to pay and whatnot. Like we can, there's a lot of people in the world is my point, right? So we can be quite picky if we want to. And especially if you're like, depending on if you're going for more of a mass market thing or more of a high ticket thing, like there's usually a lot more money in working with fewer people at a higher cost and going a lot deeper with them and being much more picky with who you work with, right? You can, when you get more clear, when you get more picky, you can ask for more money because you can deliver more value because you're more specific about who you work with. All right, so criteria here is you want absolutely people who have strong pain or strong desire, right? If there's not enough pain or desire, they're not gonna be motivated to buy, to pay a lot of money for it, to do the work and get the results. And if they don't do the work and get the results, you don't get the case study, right? So then you're just wasting your time. Even if you make a little bit of money, it doesn't build an asset for you. So the most important thing, like it says starving crowd here, because the idea is if you're selling hot dogs, like you can choose, like, would you rather, if you're trying to sell hot dogs, would you rather have the best hot dogs in the world? Or would you rather have a starving crowd of people, right? If you have a starving crowd of people, it doesn't make a damn difference how good your hot dogs are. They're going to buy them, right? They're going to want them. But if people are not hungry, you can have the best hot dog in the world and like they might not care, right? I had that literally in Copenhagen last week. I was walking in the street and there was a hot dog stand that was giving away hot dogs for free. And it looked like it was like this super gourmet hot dog experience, organic and all the things. And I just wasn't in the mood for hot dogs. So I didn't get a hot dog. It was free. It was for the best hot dog in the world, possibly. And I didn't give a damn because I wasn't hungry. I wasn't in the mood for a hot dog, right? So a starving crowd with strong pain and desire is the most important aspect. We also want people who have money to pay, right? There's a lot of people, and I meet a lot of people who are like, I want to help people, right? I am not in it for the money. That's great. I love it. I'm not in it for the money, but we need the money to pay ourselves, and you deserve to get paid. We need the money to pay the team. We need money to invest in quality so we can really give good service to people, right? We need money. And if you want to help people who don't have money, the best way to do it is to first help people who do have money and then use all of that time that buys you to help the people who don't have money for free, right? So focus on people who have money. If you want to make a business, You want to sell to people who have money to pay. Easy to target. So that means, like, do they hang out in a place where we can find them? Is there a way, like, the easier they are to target by specific things, right? Like the ads are going more and more broad, more and more algorithmic. So it's like you put stuff out there and then the content, the creative itself is the filter. And then the algorithm figures out like who to put it in front of. So in that sense, the game of targeting is changing a little bit. But if they're targetable in the sense that you can find, you know, 2 or 5 or 10 or 100 different people who have already built an audience of your exact audience, of your exact people, that's very helpful, right? I have we have a member, Robin, who built a business, built a business doing acupuncture, teaching acupuncturists how to do acupuncture with kids. That was her start. And she went from $0 to $60,000 in just 3 months because that is a highly targetable market. They're easy to target. She found one person 10,000 acupuncturists on his email list, and she got him to promote a webinar with her and sell her course, her $500 course there. And she made 60 grand in just 3 months, right? Because they're easy to target. Acupuncturists, they gather in certain places, easy to target. That's super, super helpful. Most aware is like they're actively, in marketing, we talk about the stages of awareness. There are people who have a problem, but they don't even know they have a problem, right? Very hard to sell to. There are people who know they have a problem, but they don't know solutions exist. So they're not looking. Also hard to sell to. What you want are people who are not just products aware, but problem aware. They're problem aware, they're also solution aware, meaning they know that solutions exist and they're actively looking for solutions. And they're more than that, they're actually actively buying solutions and they're actively using those solutions. So we tend to think that we want to sell to someone who's like brand new and it's like, oh, like, yeah, like this is the first time I've tried to go to the gym and build muscle or do exercise or overcome my stress or calm or whatever. Those are the hardest people to sell to because that you have to get them to actually spend money on trying to solve this problem. Going from like, yeah, I have a problem. Yeah, I know. It's like, I should do something about it. But to actually, no, I'm going to start investing money in solving this problem. That's a big step. But once they're actively buying stuff, they're much more likely to buy more stuff, right? For me, in 2008, I bought my first online course on online marketing. That was a big step. That was a major step. It was $2,000. I was like, crap, are these people like scammers? Am I like, what's going to happen? Is this any good? Am I just being suckered into this thing, right? Like, it was a major decision. It was really hard to overcome that hurdle. Now I buy marketing courses like all the time, right? Easy. Like, because I know the value. I've already, okay, yeah, great. Like new person, new angle, new thing I can learn here. Easy, right? Like coaching, right? The first coach I hired, major decision. Like, oh, am I wrong? It's like, whoa, what is this thing? It's scary, whatever. Like, now I have a bunch of coaches. I've worked with a bunch of coaches for years, right? So it's a lot easier to work with people who are actively buying to try to solve the problem that you are solving. So those are the most aware people. We want someone who with a short sales cycle, right? So they make a decision quickly. If we're working with corporations or like big entities that have a very long, short sales cycle, it just makes it more complicated. It makes it a lot harder, right? Just takes a long time. Short success cycle is about how quickly can these people get success, right? Someone who's never done any online business and they're kind of thinking about it. Maybe they should, I don't know, maybe someday. And then like they're getting them to a successful outcome is going to take a lot longer than someone who's like, yeah, I've already done like three businesses before, and now I'm looking to start this one, and it's a new thing, a new area, whatever. Like, I need some coaching, I need some help. Like, it's gonna be a lot easier, right? Or someone who's never worked out and never ever like paid attention to their diet, and now they want to lose weight and get in shape. Like, that's gonna be a lot longer success cycle than someone who's actively working out and actively working on their diet, and now they want some change, right? They're like, they've reached a plateau, or like they feel like they're stuck with their current method, but they're ready for a change, and you think that your thing can help them overcome that. That's a short success cycle. It's going to be so much easier. And finally, a growing market, right? So if you're selling to newspaper publishers or newspaper printing companies, right, that's probably not a growing market, right? If you're selling to retail stores, maybe not so growing a market, right? So pick something that is growing, because then you don't have to suck. You can still suck and still grow with the market, right? If you're trying to grow your business selling to a shrinking market, you're gonna have to outpace the market by a lot. to actually grow your business. Whereas if the market is growing, you just have to follow along and not be stupid. All right. One more thing here. Our goal is to channel desire, not create it. What does that mean? It means it's very common, and I've done this a million times. It's very common to think, well, my thing can help everybody. Everybody needs this. Everybody needs this. Like mindset, you know, health, spirituality, business, entrepreneurship. Everybody needs this. Like, oh my God, I can help so many people. Yeah. But if they don't want it, it's really, really hard to sell them and help them get success, right? We want to help people. We want to sell people on our services and we want to get them to success. And if they don't actively want it and desire it, that's both of those things are going to be really, really hard. So do not think that you can generate desire. You can, but it's going to cost a lot of money and take a lot of time. And we don't have that. Like that's big corporations have that, government have that. Like you can do that if you have enough time and money, but it's not really that worthwhile thing for us to pursue. So you want to work with people who already have a desire. And now you're giving people a way to satisfy that desire with your offer. All right. So what you want to ask yourself is, who can you help the most in the least amount of time with the least amount of friction without them being a hassle? All right. That's kind of what we're looking for. Who can you help the most in the least amount of time with the least amount of friction without them being a hassle? And the friction here applies to just the process of selling them, right? And working with them, getting results. Or you can say, who would you want to work with if you could only get paid after they got the results you promise? So what this gets to is people who are easy. It's like the success cycle, right? They're easy to move across the goalpost. It's okay to choose to work with people who are easy to work with, right? And I know for me, I'm like, damn, I was struggling. And I really wish that like I had someone who would have seen me and helped me and met me at that stage, which is great. And you can do that with your free content. But I also understand that I might not have been the easiest client to work with at that point because I was very opinionated. I had so many bullshit opinions that kept me stuck. And I can understand why if someone would be like, yeah, dude, like you go do some more work on figuring this stuff out, right? Like we don't have to work with, we might want to save people that just like we wished someone had saved us when we were in that place, but you don't have to make that your business. You don't have to make that your dream customer, right? Make it easy and fun for yourself. Work with people that are easy and fun to work with, that have money to pay you so that you get momentum and flow. And then you can use your free content or you can do pro bono work with people who don't have money or a little bit more work if you feel called to do that. But as a business decision, make it easy, lucrative, and fun. Let's pause in the chat. What resonated with the most with you from this? What did you most need to hear from what I just shared? I want to see from everybody in the chat. All right, good stuff. I see short success cycle, target the starving crowd. Goal is to channel desire, not to create it. Target people who already have a desire for what I offer. Easy to work with, who has awareness. You need to be very specific, identifying a target niche or target market. Yes. No hassle. Let me see here. No hassle, channel desire. I like that I can confidently dump that outdated avatar stuff, what magazines they buy, blah, blah, blah. Yes. Oh my God. I've struggled so much with that and felt so awkward and wrong. Like, oh God. Like, I don't know. Am I doomed? Easy to work with, people with money. Wait, things are jumping around for me here. I think I needed to hear that it's okay to pick the easy sales and change and charge what my time is worth. 100%, yes, 1,000%. My who will easily get a result, yes. Don't work with difficult people, channel desire. I saw someone's like VIP access, yes. Collaborate with professionals who already have my target Things keep jumping around in this chat. It's really confusing. All right. Approach the dream clients versus the old avatar approach is refreshing and helpful. I like the idea of working with people who would only pay you after they'd succeeded. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And you can, I mean, you can literally do that if you want to, and then set like really clear criteria up front for who you're going to work with. And then that confidence in your ability to deliver results, like it's very contagious, right? People can feel that in you. And then that can in large part come from you being very specific about who you will work with, because it just lined right up, right? I'm part of a program called SaaS Academy and SaaS Boardroom, but with this guy named Dan Martell. And his criteria for being part of SaaS Academy is that you're doing at least $10,000 a month in monthly recurring revenue from your SaaS company, your software as a service company, and that you are full-time focused on this business, and that you either are technical or you have a technical co-founder. Like, if those four criteria are not there, he's not going to work with you. You're not allowed into the program. It's $30,000 a year. He ain't going to take your money because he can't. He can't guarantee success, right? Taki Moore, similarly, has his black belt. I'm actually going to his boardroom with him next week in Laguna. But he has his black belt program, which is for coaches. And you have to be making $10,000 a month or more, or you're not welcome in that program. Like, and then the higher level is, you know, is his boardroom is a million or more from coaching, or you're not, you know, part of that group. So you can set the criteria, and the more that you do for him too, Taki, he only works with business coaches. Like, you can be like a great coach at whatever else, not a fit, only business coaches, because he can guarantee a financial outcome there, right? Business coaches can charge based on the value, the monetary value that they deliver for the company. And so it's easier for him to help his clients make more money if they're business coaches than if they're life coaches. Their clients are going to have more money, and they're going to be willing to spend more money. And so it's easier for him to make his investment back. So yeah, George is asking, are you still in Flight Club? Yes, I am. All right. Fantastic. Great stuff. I really appreciate all the takeaways.